What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is July 31st, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Noah Cameron yesterday, 8 innings of 0 runs, 1 hit, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. My gosh, that's 2 straight starts. First, it was 7 shutout with 8 Ks. Now it's 8 shutout with 7 Ks. What is he doing? He's throwing harder. I mean, that's really the simplest part I could say is that he's throwing like 92, 93 before, and now it's like 94. But the thing is, those fastballs are actually not really part of the plan. Their goal is to tease guys out of the zone and get them hoping he's going to throw one of those fastballs. But instead, he throws 80% secondaries, and that's the big deal. He's getting a little bit extra velocity on those, the curveball and the changeup and the slider, etc. And he's effectively throwing them inside and outside of the zone. He is using the curveball as a swing strike pitch. He's using a slider as a swing strike pitch. He's probably bouncing them, etc. He's in a much, much better groove. And the main thing about last year for Noah Cameron was that he was in a groove with his command, and that was really, really effective. And it's this old skill of going backward with his pitching, right? It's kind of like the Tanaka thing, the Renel Blanco thing, of keeping the four-seamer and sinker out of the zone on purpose and saying, hey, please don't hit those. Please try and hit the secondaries. I mean, Kyle Bradish in some ways does do that, but a little bit less so with a sinker. Now, it's the Tigers and Twins for the last 2 starts. So you're thinking, okay, maybe it's a little bit of blame it on them. He's going to get the Twins again. And I don't think this is the case where the Twins will going to have figured him out. I think that he throws enough of them that he throws enough of these pitches that it's still really effective. Also, I should note that the cutter that's at 90-91 kind of looks like a lot of your right-hander flamethrowers are throwing those 91-92 mile per hour sliders. Like Bubba Chandler's 91 slider kind of looks like Noah Cameron's cutter. They're both kind of around the 6 vert land, 6 to 8. And if you think of it like that, you're like, oh man, that's actually really, really filthy. Right. The problem is that there's a bigger gap between the two that makes that slider more effective, say for someone like Chandler or maybe Braxton Ashcraft, than it is Noah Cameron, but still really cool pitch. Now you have Ryan Weathers, once again, 2 straight starts, I believe both against the White Sox, having success. 7 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. You love to see it. He did have a struggle put away batters. It was a 33% overall put away rate. That is against all batters who saw 2 strike counts, which is really tough. That's 1/3 of them, right? No home runs, though. A fair amount of weak contact. He's going to get the Cardinals next, which I don't like. I like facing the Cardinals in Busch Stadium, but not on the road. They actually have a lot of thump in that lineup. Still, Ryan Weathers is the guy inside the rotation for the Yankees, not Will Warren, in my view, once the trade deadline completes, or at least Rodon comes back. And I think we just keep rolling with this in the second half. Sean Burke, I may give him the Aces, going to ace label on Monday. I haven't decided yet. But once again, I mean, this was against the Yankees. The Yankees lineup is kind of not great at the moment. I mean, it's Ben Rice and friends. 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 10 strikeouts, 17 whiffs. This was so cool because his cutter is just disgusting to lefties. I mean, the cutter and the slider are killing it. The curveball was not the reliable pitch that we normally see. He was actually missing up and away to left-handers a ton, which is essentially saying you are not getting a good feel on that curve. It's coming out of your hand. It's flipping out as opposed to really feeling that tight grip and that proper release point. He didn't have it the entire game. And his four-seamer, 53% strike rate. So to see Sean Burke, whose 2 most thrown pitches typically against lefties are four-seamers and curveballs, to adjust and be able to say, fine, I'm going to throw these sliders and cutters more and have tons of success with that is really, really cool. 85% strikes on that slider became the second most thrown pitch for him. 30% swinging strike rate. That is awesome. He also had 8 for 11 sinker strikes, as that stepped up too. That is a huge, huge sign of being an ace. It's not just the four-seamer. It's four-seamer and friends. And that four-seamer is still, yes, very good. 95 miles per hour, 18 plus vert at like a 43-degree arm angle, which is good. Normally, I would think like 16 or so at that arm angle. All right, you have Eury Pérez against the Mets. 6 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. You remember last time out, he threw all of these sinkers that were like 50-50 with his four-seamer. I'm like, what are you doing? The four-seamer is the really awesome pitch, right? The 18 vert pitch at 10 horizontal, and then you have a 14-14 mirrored sinker, which is actually really rare. So he's like, all right, I'm going to throw those last time. I'm like, why are you doing that? The four-seamer is known as like one of the better four-seamers in baseball. So what does, of course, Eury Pérez do? He throws 39 sinkers and 13 four-seamers. That's a 3-to-1 ratio. I don't get it. The sinker was good, sure, but it did allow both runs scoring. Yes, one of them was on an error and it was like a really badly hit ball, but the other one was, you know, over the plate and was hit. And I don't know if that four-seamer would have been hit in the same way. It's strange. It is very strange. Now, the question is, does he have the secondaries, right? I mean, this sinker could be still very, very good. It doesn't matter so much. It's just weird. But the sinker's good enough. It's more about the Eury Pérez having secondaries. He can throw for strikes against both lefties and righties. And he has a sweeper that is like a hand of God sweeper, which means that it has 13 inches of lift. That's a super high number of lift. Like when you think of a normal sweeper, to me, it's about 0 inches. It's right above the x-axis. This is wild to me. I don't really get it, and I don't think it's very good, but the slider is up to 90 now and has 5 inches of vertus, like I was talking about with Noah Caron. We'll take that one all day, especially 80% strikes. It has a little bit more sweep, I believe, than Cameron's, though. So we're really happy with the Eury Pérez. It feels like he's unlocked something, and that's great. Robbie Ray, this is his final audition because he might be dealt by the Giants. And 6 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. I'm thrilled because I feel like Robbie Ray just needs more help. And I know that the park is really good for him. However, wins haven't really been there, and I feel like he just needs the different staff around him to try and figure out what he's doing. Because right now, he's doing it all on his own. He's like, I'm going to throw sinkers. I'm going to throw three or four seamers. I'm going to try and throw this pitch and that pitch. And he finally went back to four seamers up. Thank you so much. He's still throwing sinkers, and that's fine. But 31% four seamers is cool. And then throwing them 50% more than the sinker is nice as well. You have them as a pair, right? That's what matters. So for example, you have like 20% sinkers and you have 30% four seamers. That's 50%. You throw them together. That's cool. And then you have to get your slider and your curveball and your changeup working. And really, I want one of those to really come through. It's not the slider dominating. It's not the changeup being good down and away, right? Like I need that too. But fine, this I will take. This is, again, a step in the right direction. I'm really curious where he does go. Javier Assad was 2 outs away from becoming a good streaming play. But it was 4.1 innings of 1 earned run, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. So close. He was just really inefficient. It was too many foul balls. And then just not enough outs on play on the fastballs, which means that deeper into counts, which does open up 6 Ks, but it does mean he's out before the end of the fifth. And yes, I should have picked Noah Cameron as my streamer. PL Bot had that, and you can get that with PL Pro. By the way, guys, if you get PL Pro, it's $20 a month if you sign up annually. Yes, you get through the full year, of course. But what's really cool is you get, of course, our projections. You get our PL Bot picks of the day. We have put out the alpha for our pro dashboard. We're going to have a big showcase of it in about a week or two. And the reason that I really want to tell you about it now is because I got a showcase of what's to come. We're going to be adding a ton of these things. We have our 1.0 that we're going to be launching next year. So you're going to be getting all of these updates for free if you have PL Pro, right? The price stays the same. You get more product. And the one you're going to get is Nick's Pitcher Dashboard. It's the thing that I've been using all year to do my assessments of pitchers. I literally made it myself and kept adding more and more features that I wanted, such as being able to look at the game log and then split games individually and then see the totals for special stats. I mean, it's so, so cool. I showed it on the Twitch stream today, and I'm so excited about it for you guys to get in your hands, and you'll be getting it in your hands very shortly, probably the first or second week of August, so like within the next 2 weeks. Cannot wait. You can get it for 15% off with PL Pro Yearly promo code dashboard today. Definitely do that. And also, by the way, for those playing fantasy football, we do have our QB list site. And guess what? We just made it ad-free for PL Plus and PL Pro members. So if you have PL Plus or PL Pro, you can log into QBList.com and enjoy it ad-free as well. So if you're thinking, I don't really want to get this stuff because I'm going to go to football now, but you should be using QB List, of course, and then you get it ad-free. So you are getting more benefits for your subscriptions, guys. Go sign up today. Marco Gonzalez at Tampa Bay was the bulk guy as they pushed back all their starters because Jordan Montgomery, I guess, isn't ready. I don't know. Don't care. Marco Gonzalez. It's cool to see his 2 starts now. I guess somebody finally said polo. You also had Shane McClanahan only going three innings, not because it was a bullpen game, but because he left with a lower back injury. Oh my gosh. Man, I just said on the craft like how the Rays are not getting injured, and it's amazing, and whoops. It does mean that Ian Seymour, of course, is going to be sticking around more unless they trade him, because honestly, I think they are going to get more value, more perceived value for what they think of Ian Seymour. But anyway, they are now going to be in the market for a starter. Brody Hopkins is the only one of interest, and Joe Boyle is doing terribly. And Brody Hopkins also, like Boyle, cannot throw enough strikes. So I'm very curious how this plays out for the Rays. I feel like they should go after one of the back end guys. I don't know who exactly that would be, but yeah, Dustin May, my gosh, that'd be a really cool thing. A lot of guys should be going after Dustin May right now if the Cardinals are selling him. Yes, don't spend as much as the Red Sox did last year, though. Oh my gosh. Noah McClain against the Marlins, 6.1 innings of 200 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. It's not quite the coronation day for me. Why? Because it's just weird. He is not as polished as I think he should be, and I've seen in the past from him, where this was 50% fastballs, 25% curveballs, and the curveball was like a sub 50% strike rate pitch. Like, the changeup, cutter, slider, sweeper, they existed, but they, you know, around the zone and stuff, but they weren't like, you know, it's kind of like Zeppy Matthews in this way. Like, they existed, they were there, but those are not polished approaches that I trust that Nolan McClain can execute consistently. He's not that guy yet. You know, he still actually had an 8 whip here, or 8 base runners in 6 innings, right? 6.1, so it was, that's like a what? A 1.3 whip. I'm going to say right there, 1.3 whip, maybe 1.27 or something, if I can do quick maths. But you understand, that is not really the overwhelming dominant ace that we expect McClain to be. Even if the results have been there, he's still in this weird development period. Andre Pallante against the Cubs, Pallante, I should say, is 6.1 innings of 200 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. It's a dusty donut because of that whip. You don't really have any strikeouts, but you did get 6 innings of 200 runs, 6.1. This was a weird game where Koufax really helped him. And I know it sounds weird because it was 7 hits, but his 4-seamer is usually the problem. And that only had 2 hits in 10 balls in play, which is kind of awesome. And the sinker was way inside, low zone rate, but 38% O-swing, which is cool, and yet it's still just blah. So I think that Pallante is not really the guy that you want to be going for. Rhett Lauder is very interesting. I'll tell you more about him. And of course, everyone else from last night, Roky Sasaki and even Mason Burnett, I'll talk about a little bit. And of course, Brian Wu, but I'll talk about all of them after this break. Rhett Lauder, oh man, against the Pirates, it's a clear, like, do not start this, especially also in Cincinnati, but it was 6 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. And look, Rhett Lauder is not a bad pitcher. He has not gotten much of a chance to really get into rhythm. He got the gold star here because his slider and his changeup are also really good. And really, the slider was the main one. It was 41% CSW and 30% usage. The changeup did work getting early whiffs and then some out as well. And then the fastballs were just doing enough inside the zone. That's really the approach from Rhett Lauder that you should see consistently. And he's not terrible. So with the Reds possibly dealing at least one of their starters at the deadline, maybe even Lodolo, I've heard things about. I think I heard something about Hunter Green for a moment. I don't know. It's Brady Singer. You're likely going to see Rhett Lauder go in the next 2 months. And when I talk about August as a really good streaming month, it's things like this where Rhett Lauder is not terrible, and I'm sure he's going to face someone on the road that is a meh offense, and that actually might be a nice stream. So think about it. I'm not saying do it right now or anything like that. Just keep him on the menu at the very least. Bailey Ober should not be. I know 6 innings, 200 runs, 6 base runners, 3 Ks. At least he's back over 87. But please do not do this. He's going to face the Royals again. No. Roky Sasaki against the Mariners. There's been a lot of talk about him. Of course, it's a big name, Dodgers. And here he is throwing 99, sitting 99, hitting triple digits for the third straight start. 5.1 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 7 Ks. He earned the golden goal at 18 whiffs and a 39% CSW, which is great. Now, he's also throwing 2 splitters again. So we have the one that's a little bit harder at 91-93 that is getting less drop. And then you have the 89-90, which might be the forkball. There is something at play here where he is playing between the two of them. I don't know why he is, but it's the second straight start where he's getting a lot of strikes in the splitter. And that's actually the real difference maker to me. Long-term Sasaki, it's still weird for me because I think independently, that fastball isn't really that great. Like, the velocity is nice at the moment. I don't expect him to be sitting 99 forever. I expect him to go back to 97, 98. And we all know that that four-seamer just is not good on its own. So is the splitter and the forkball, whatever you want to say, going to be consistent enough for him? We haven't seen that truly throughout the season. The slider goes in and out. I still feel like this is going to be a question mark in the future. He's still young, of course. He is developing. So maybe I'm underselling this, of course. But Roky, I think we just keep going as long as that Splinter's Gang strikes and the velocity is there. Hunter Barco followed Johan Ramirez, who honestly, Johan Ramirez was sinker sweeper looking filthy, got four strikeouts in two innings, and then Barco was blah for three innings, and I'm going to move on. Mason Burnett is probably going to get more starts. I don't see this as an experiment. I see this as two games now where they pushed him to 50 pitches and now 73. And he went, it was in Sacra Verde at home against the Red Sox, where he had four seamers at a 42% CSW. Little extra vert, little less cut at 95-96, but it is a cut four seamer. And that's really cool if he can get inside to lefties with it. And then he has big cut kick change. He's got a proper 16-17 inch sweeper. He's got a two plane slider at 86. Like, it's good stuff, but he can't really command it. It was around enough to get 6Ks here. It's kind of like the Jack Perkins a bit of, hey, you have fiddly things, but like, I don't really know if you're going to be consistent enough with it. And Sacra Verde messes things around. But keep an eye on Mason Burnett. If it's, for some reason, it gets traded, that'd be awesome. Oh gosh, I would love that. Like, watch the Rays go and get Mason Burnett. That'd be kind of crazy, but I don't know if the Athletics will give this up. He is absolutely someone to note. It's just a question of, is he going to get the reps to throw these pitches, this arsenal in the zone consistently? You have Grant Holmes, the real estate broker, who I don't understand how, but he has a 3A ERA in the year. And even if I want to say like the last 12 games, it's a 3.95 ERA, but a 1.45 whip. But I don't know how he's doing that, because Zomer Bernine is almost two. So he's allowing just solo shots, like, and working around everyone else. I don't get it at all. Please don't do this. He's only completed six frames once since May 17th. No. J.P. Sears against the Giants, 3.2 innings of 300 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks. I mean, they are going to be in full sell mode. You might see more of J.P. Sears here. I just, no. No, thank you. We also saw Randy Vasquez go 4.2 innings after for just one strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? At least the cutter is getting 4 of 20 whiffs, but no thanks. Sonny Gray, 7 innings, 4 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts against the Athletics in Sacra Verde. I'm glad to see that Sonny Gray has a sweeper back. And yes, it has been three games of being Gray. That is bad ratios. He did get a win. It was 5 Ks. Just 4 runs in 7. It's not like the worst disaster ever or anything, but still not what you want. And the sweeper being back down and glove side consistently is a huge deal. So now it's the White Sox and Jays. It's not going to be in this terrible park. I think that this is going to be now the upswing of Sonny Gray. You have Jake Irvin returning. That's fun, I guess. He was throwing harder beforehand, and then he got injured, I think, in that start. And I'll be honest with you, I saw the line of 5 innings, 5 earned runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 1 strikeout. And I'm like, oh man, I wish it was 4 earned runs, because then it would be a proper decline from 5 to 1. But yeah, no, we're not doing this. It is a harder cutter now at 91. It didn't do him a lot of good. And the signature curveball was a 1 for 17 whiff pitch, 53% strike. So yeah, no Jake Irvin. No thank you. And lastly, we have Brian Wu. And I say a lot about home road splits, you know? I really do, and I'm like, random grouping is a thing. It's so ridiculous to use it. Park factors matter. It is really nice pitching in Seattle, and that should be a better ERA and performance overall than the average of everything else. But this was 5 innings, 5 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 8 Ks against the Dodgers. What I liked about this, 17 whiffs. We also saw four seamers and sinkers upstairs consistently. And then it was a Blake Snell blueprint, really, with sliders underneath. The two times he allowed runs, it was a hung slider to Mookie Betts. That was a two-run single. Maybe it was a double, but it was, yeah, it was in the outfield, okay? Not like to the wall. And then you have a Dalton rushing three-run shot on a slider that just didn't get farther enough back foot. It landed like right inside the zone in the nitro zone. So he just dropped the barrel and got there and just got in enough on it. But however, he threw 19 of these. Two of those were those damaging hits, but then he also earned 7 over 19 whiffs on that slider. And I really want to, you know, try and frame this outing in like, Brian Wu is not a bad pitcher. You see a ton of pitchers have 5 earned runs all the time. And, you know, we're like, some guys don't even do it much, like 3-4 earned runs. This is against the Dodgers. It just, like, the timing of X, Y, and Z. I really cannot express that Brian Wu should be much better than what this has been the past month. So I would be buying low everywhere on Brian Wu, and I really don't think it's a home road split. I cannot express enough that this is the Dodgers. and he's pitching really, really well. All right, that is it for today. Remember, you get 15% off PL Pro yearly with promo code Dashboard. I cannot express enough. You can win your league with what we have right now in our alpha. We have Process Plus rolling charts. We have Process Plus for your free agents. We have our PL rankings inside the app that you can see your free agents for all five major platforms: Yahoo, ESPN, CBS, NFBC, and Fantrax. So get it today. You get through the entire year. You get all of the stuff that we get in the preseason. Sign up today. 15% off with promo code Dashboard. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.